You're listening to a real piece of work. I probably shouldn't say it that way. You're listening to A Real Piece of Work, a jobs podcast for aspiring professionals brought to you by WVIK, Quad Cities NPR, and Junior Achievement of the Heartland. Now here's your hosts.
Mr. Blaylock, how you doing today, sir?
Mr. Rebro, I'm doing great.
Awesome, awesome. Pretty excited here today because our guests today are, in my opinion, in many ways, part of the reason, the why. We talk about the why of this podcast on a fairly regular basis. And I'm curious to learn about these individuals and what they've done in life, but it's the work they've done recently that's hitting home. And I'm most excited about because it's really germane to our audience and the why of a real piece of work. So any thoughts you have before we get going here?
Yeah, I think it's great to, we take guests and we're always talking about, hey, do we do something nationally, regionally? But this one hits close to home. And we're a job podcast for young people. And I think we're going to talk a little bit about jobs today. So I think we're on message with the group that we have to interview today.
Spot on, spot on. Well, welcome to A Real Piece of Work, Chris Caves and Bill Poley with Grow Quad Cities.
Good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
Well, I really appreciate you both being here today. And before we really get into the meat of the why of the invitation to this podcast today, Chris, Bill, could you both tell us who you are, what do you do, what's the full-time job that keeps you busy on a day-to-day basis?
You bet. Good morning or afternoon. Not sure when this is going to be aired. My name is Chris Caves. I support the economic development team, Grow Quad Cities, at the Quad Cities Chamber as Vice President of Business Retention, Expansion, and Workforce. Matt, I've been a workforce practitioner for 25 years, and for your audience, practitioner just means I've worked in state workforce offices, career services centers, community colleges, universities, but my mission has always been workforce development, and I bring that expertise to economic development. So for the audience, right, economic development means growing your economy, right? Making sure good companies stay here, helping us develop really great jobs in the region, how to get people trained, and how to make our community thrive and be productive. So that's economic development, but we can't do that unless we have really great jobs in the region. And so I am honored to be able to have a little part to do with that.
Awesome. Bill?
Yeah, I'm Bill Poley. I'm the Senior Director of Business Intelligence for Grow Quad Cities, which basically means that I deal with all of the research, all of the data that the economic growth team uses. And so I spend my days at the computer mostly and just looking at data. My background is economics. I have a PhD from the University of Iowa, and I spent a number of years in education before coming to Grow Quad Cities and the Quad Cities Chamber. So I was a professor at Western Illinois University, and then before that at Bradley University.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited because in many ways, because of the Iowa Association of Business and Industry and a program I went through, there was a reoccurring theme every month through this program. Didn't matter if it was manufacturing, an education topic, public safety, manufacturing type topics. Every month, one of the reoccurring themes as we were educated was workforce retention and development in order to grow communities. And so I think this is in the crosshairs of exactly why this podcast exists. So this is great. Out of curiosity, before we really get into the why again of the ask today to be here, you both explained what you did or what you do day to day for Grow Quad Cities. Could you unpack that a little bit more? Bill, you referenced, and I'll start with you, some of the education and experience. Did you know, I'm going to say 20 plus years ago, the seat you're sitting in today is what you hope to do?
No, absolutely not. I'll describe my path to get here a little bit. I when I was in college, I wanted to teach at the college level. So I got my PhD, became an economics professor, enjoyed that for a number of years, and around the time of COVID-19, education started to change a bit, more online teaching that I was not as much a fan of. I enjoyed the way it was when I started, having a room full of 20 students and just, you know, enjoying that interaction with small groups and that sort of thing. So as education changed, I realized that if I was going to do anything different, I better start soon before it's too late. And so as it happened, Julie Forsyth, who is our vice president and director for economic growth at Grow Quad Cities, she was on the Insight program with Channel 6, and I was a guest on there, so we met there. And then I noticed a little bit later that there was a job opening, so I called her that I had met her on the program, and one thing led to another, and I had an interview, and next thing I know, I'm working for Grow Quad Cities, or at that time, Quad Cities Chamber. So that was my path. I realized that pivoting from education into economic development would be fairly straightforward for me because of my background in data. As an economist, I worked with data all the time. That's what I taught students, is dealing with statistics and all of that. So when I came to Grow Quad Cities, it was just a natural fit. And so I'm working with data all day long. And of course, this report that we put together is just chock full of all kinds of data about the occupations in the Quad Cities area. And so it was really interesting to put all that together. But day to day, just anything that the business economic growth team needs in order to try to attract businesses to the region, retaining businesses in the region, answering those questions that companies might have, and working with companies here in the Quad Cities that have questions about all kinds of things, and really also keeping a pulse on the economy of the Quad Cities, understanding where we are and where we're going. Is economic growth trending up or down? What's happening to employment in various sectors around the economy? Population growth, demographics. We get all kinds of questions from all of the cities, municipalities around the Quad Cities. So it's definitely something that keeps me busy day to day, but I'm generally always behind the computer.
Awesome. And Chris?
I would say that my career journey, Matt, was an evolution. So some of the students listening to the podcast might be able to relate. As a young student in high school, I was going off to college to play basketball, Matt. That was the plan. And I did exactly that. And I picked up determined a major because half of my teammates were also criminal justice majors. So I thought that sounded cool. Mm-hmm. You know, Matt, in the early 90s, we had some cool crime shows on TV. And I'm not like unlike young people that are inspired by media. Right. Sure. Do I see myself in the occupations that that are on TV and movies? And so I started to do some self-discovery and go through that process. And Matt, I have had a litany of jobs. Your students might laugh. I was a seasonal park ranger for the Army Corps of Engineers. Yes, I was. Absolutely love that job, Matt. But I needed to move to the mountains. And so I moved all the way out to Colorado as a young person with a lot of imagination. And I ended up working undercover in a computer manufacturing company in Boulder, Colorado, believe it or not, investigating internal drug use and theft. And everybody's probably like, oh, my gosh, that sounds so cool. You know what's funny? The reason they hired me, Matt, is because I like to talk and ask questions and I make friends easy. Who knew at 21, right, that would set me on my occupational path? But, you know, through that, I dabbled in private investigation for a couple of years between Colorado and Minneapolis and the Quad Cities. Gosh, I've done so many things. I worked for the state workforce systems in Texas and in Iowa. My husband was stationed at Fort Hood, and There happened to be a job where they were looking for someone who could help soldiers and civilians find jobs. Again, Matt, it came back to, I ask good questions and I make friends, right? I do my research. And so I started to lean on those behaviors. So I guess what I'm trying to share with your audience is you don't have to have all the answers, but I hope that you're listening and you're understanding, you're identifying some of the themes in your personality, your interest, and your aptitudes to help you pursue the next job, the next career opportunity in front of you. And so again, I guess my journey into economic development has been just an evolution, but a true understanding of what are my skills and how do I apply them to do good work.
Love it. Before we transition to, again, what I think is going to be the lion's share of our discussion today on the top 100 high priority jobs report, could you just 1 minute, Grow Quad Cities versus Quad City Chamber, for our audience that may not be real familiar, could you unpack that for a minute?
Sure, you bet. The Quad City Chamber and everyone, I mean, I love it. I love the brand recognition. The Quad City Chamber is a business membership organization.
Okay.
Right? So businesses, for your audience, they want to be part of an industry group of like-minded people that all share the same common goal, which is to advance our economy and the profitability of the businesses in the region, right? So we do, we have access to lots of resources, meetups, any business development opportunity. Bill does an economic forecast, which helps people understand the state of the economy in the Quad Cities. But that's what the Quad City Chamber is, a business membership organization. Now, Grow Quad Cities is specifically focused on economic development. So we are a division of the Chamber of Commerce, as folks know it now, and we focus on business attraction, Matt, where we want to bring new companies to the region. We focus on business retention, so we want to keep every company that's currently here to stay in the Quad Cities and thrive, right? We help those companies expand, so business expansion. How do we help you grow within the region? And we focus on marketing. We got to make sure that everybody, not just in the Quad Cities, knows about us. Good night, Matt. We got to let everybody in the nation and internationally know what the Quad Cities has to offer. And then we're focused on workforce development. So Grow Quad Cities is the economic development arm of the Quad City Chamber.
Chris, I appreciate all that. You know, I also like the point about the criminal justice. I too thought I wanted to be in criminal justice. So we'll talk about the Chicago model of criminology later. But let's maybe jump in a little bit to the jobs report. So 100 high priority jobs. I'm guessing it's not the 100 easiest jobs, and I'm guessing it's not the 100 highest paying jobs. What exactly is the high priority jobs report?
Well, we set out to look at jobs that are both in high demand and also pay a living wage. And for the Quad Cities area, a living wage for a single person with no children, there's a website out there, the MIT Living Wage Calculator. For our area, that's around $20 an hour for a single person with no children. There are jobs that pay less than that, of course, that many of those are in high demand. But those aren't the ones that we're looking for. We're looking for jobs that do pay a living wage, and many of the jobs in this report pay well above that $20 an hour. But looking for jobs that pay a living wage and that are in high demand. And so either some of the criteria, I won't get into all the details, but basically that there's a large number of those occupations, large number of people in those occupations here in the Quad Cities, and that they are important to the region relative to the national economy. That is, they're overrepresented or they're close to the national average or higher in terms of their representation. What that means is we have more of those here than a similar size city would. So, for example, engineers, for example, we have way more engineers than many other cities around the country on a per person basis, because of the types of work that is done here, especially with manufacturing, that need for engineers and so forth. So that's one of those that crops up in the report. Those are the main things: the higher wage, the high demand. Those are the criteria that we were looking at.
So, why was the report created? What are you doing with the report now that is relevant to the region?
So the report, the genesis of this report actually came from a couple of different initiatives that were going on. In 2023, Illinois Board of Higher Education engaged the Quad City Chamber to help support Thrive QC. That was a workforce study. It's a bi-state workforce study that was done at the time, and our role was to convene business leaders to help them really understand the occupations in highest need in the area. That was an early report, gave us some real good ideas and some inspiration. And then our colleagues at United Way came to us and said, hey, we have an example of a workforce study that was done in Dallas, a report that pointed out occupations in demand that paid that living wage. It's important for our economy, Matt, to be strong and thriving, that our citizens are able to make enough money to sustain their households. And so why not promote the jobs that are paying that living wage? And so great, great recommendation from United Way. And because of Bill's talents and his access to the software required to pull this data, we were able to do this report in-house. So Matt, the top 100 high priority jobs report is our North Star right now. As a business membership organization, we need to listen to the needs of business. And when they're telling us, I can't find a maintenance mechanic, Matt, this report will show you the data. It'll give you the gap analysis between the demand for that occupation and maybe the limited number of folks earning that credential. And that, Matt, our responsibility is to help connect people to programs, to training, to funding, to business work-based learning activities. We need to be the architects of a pipeline that listens to what the need is and then move us toward an outcome. And so, for example, Matt, you've heard me talk about our FAME program recently, the Federation for Advanced Manufacturing and Education. Folks, we heard manufacturers over the last 3 years tell us how many maintenance technicians they need. We went out and partnered with the Manufacturing Institute, the National Manufacturing Institute. We convened manufacturers in the Quad Cities to get their input. We partnered with education and training partners. Eastern Iowa Community College is the training partner on this. And Matt, we will enroll. Students will go to school. They'll go to work. It's an earn and learn model. And then when they complete, Matt, we will be able to show measurable impact. How many young people went all the way through that pipeline to the completion and are now contributing to the Quad Cities economy as a maintenance technician? This is a North Star report. This is a decision-making framework that we want parents and students, if you are undecided about what career pathway to even set out on, we hope that you will look at this report first to just see what does the 6-county region around the Quad Cities need most.
That's rather extensive. And I'm trying to digest everything. As a local employer, I'm going to put an employer hat on for a hot second. We are members of the chamber, but if I'm a non-member of the chamber, is this information available, and can I still get support? And if so, what does that look like?
The report is on the chamber website right now, so anyone can go and download. There's also a dashboard that is interactive that allows you to search and filter on the different categories. So if you're interested in jobs that only require an associate's degree. You can put that into the filter and then do a search by the different categories and see what kind of wages and what kind of numbers there are for those occupations in the Quad Cities. Filter it by bachelor's degree and so forth. So that all is out there for people, whether they're a member or not.
Okay.
For access to some of the other more specialized things that we do, yes, we would encourage people to be members of the chamber,
sure,
or investors in Grow Quad Cities. But we do a lot of outreach to the community for members and non-members alike.
So there's jobs that are in high demand on your report. What are the jobs, and how are these being communicated with the educators and students? So hopefully they're, again, the focus of this podcast, hopefully they're making wiser decisions at a younger age to help ensure happiness and success sooner and it's sustained. So the students, the educators, are they aware of this? And is it being brought into classrooms? So again, earlier decisions are being made.
Well, we've been going around to the community. We've talked to superintendents. We've talked to other folks in business and industry. So the word is starting to get around. And I know, Chris, you had you spoke to a group at DeWitt, I think it was. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Matt, we, as Bill mentioned, we've probably been in front of, I know for sure, 25 superintendents in Illinois. We've been in front of the United Way Education Council, so superintendents from the big five cities here in the region. We have, higher education has really embraced this report because they want to make sure that there is a strong alignment between the degree programs they're offering and the demand for these jobs. So applaud higher ed for really examining that alignment. But truthfully, Matt, I've only been invited to one high school. So DeWitt invited me to come out a couple of weeks ago to talk with about 60 students, to briefly just give them an introduction of this report. But we have a long way to go if we are going to reach the critical mass of young people, and share this report and this data with them. We'd love to be able to create just a classroom activity, Matt, like a curriculum. That sounds a little complex. Just an activity for students to go through and exercise around data analytics, right? How do I give you a big chart? You work with three or four members of your team in a classroom. You analyze what the data says, and now you can go home and talk to your parents about the occupational needs in the Quad Cities. We have a long way to go to reach the young student audience, but boy, have we been out putting miles on our car trying to get in front of anybody that's interested, Matt. And so that's why this podcast is really helping us reach and have greater impact with people of influence in the region.
So you gave us one example. What's another example of some of the gaps in the region that were uncovered in the report? And maybe a follow-up to that as well. Obviously, a lot of great educational institutions in the Quad Cities, but are employers being a little bit more flexible around degrees in some of the jobs that you found in high priority?
Well, one of the areas that definitely has a high demand right now is nursing. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just looking at the report here. We have over 4,000 registered nurses in the region. And the turnover rate is fairly high, about 43% that we found according to the report. So we are hiring each year, we are needing to hire almost 2,000 nurses, registered nurses. Now, one of the things that we find in the report is we can look at an entire sequence of jobs, the different levels of training. So one might be able to start in a healthcare professions, working your way up towards a nursing degree. You might start as a tech or an aide and work your way up. Now, those lowest level jobs are not necessarily in the report because the wages for those jobs are really not even living wage. But as you progress forward into patient care, so you at the level of the licensed practical nurses and vocational nurses, large need for that around the region. And then as going on to registered nurse and nurse practitioner. So there's a level of progression from an associate's degree, bachelor's degree, and even master's degree for the nurse practitioners. So that's one area where we are seeing a great demand. I would say that the supply, the students coming out of the programs, is really barely keeping up. There's still, we find certainly in the healthcare system here in the Quad Cities that we are reliant on traveling nurses more than maybe we would like to be, and so we still need to have people coming out of those educational institutions, getting those degrees, and staying in the region, staying in those professions, because, like I said, that with nurses, there's very high turnover.
We're gonna have we have an aging workforce. They're gonna be retiring. Mm-hmm. Is there even enough numbers to replace the future demand?
So we do include that in the report. There's a couple of columns in the report where it shows the percentage, the share of the workforce that is of, I think, age 55 to 65 or 65 and older. So those are the folks who are very close to retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see in some of those jobs that there's a large number of openings each year. So looking at this report, openings are an important thing to look at because that is basically your growth plus replacing the people who are leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not the turnover, but just growth plus the people who are leaving that part of the labor force or maybe leaving the labor force completely due to retirement and so forth. So there's a lot of jobs in the area where those retirements are a factor and where the openings are high and we're projecting, in some cases, projecting significant growth in those areas. But even if there's not significant growth, because the Quad Cities is a relatively stable population. We're not growing as fast as some of the fast-growing communities in the coastal areas. We're stable, right around in the six-county area, around 470,000 people. That's about 200,000 in the labor force, okay? And that's pretty stable. So if we have occupations that are growing, that means that they're becoming more important relative to the rest of the economy. And on top of that, you have people who are already in those positions, many of them who are going to be retiring. So in manufacturing, we see that. We see that throughout the market.
So we talked a little bit about manufacturing and healthcare. Is there anything else, any other jobs or industries that really surprised you? I mean, I think what's really interesting about this is we've got some facts versus just feelings. So was there something that landed on the list that surprised either one of you guys?
There's a couple different observations I'd love to bring your audience's attention to. We have a critical need for teachers in all grades. Primary, secondary, even in higher education. We really need teachers in career and technical education occupations. And that data is spelled out in this report. We need police officers. We need first responders. We need people to work for city, municipality. This report, you're going to see a water and wastewater treatment professional. Mm. Now, I'm sure no one in this call has ever thought about that. But back to the point about retiring workforce, each city needs people with this expertise. We need clean water. We need water resources to make sure that our businesses and our neighborhoods have what they need to grow and thrive. We can't do that with the absence of people outside of that occupation. But right now, a young person can go through the training, locally even, at our community colleges, get the training and the credentials that they need to work in there, and you can have a career working for local government, investing in your career, longevity, retirement, Matt. I know it doesn't sound like super enticing maybe to a young person, because again, we're not seeing that on movies and TV programs, right? Or, exactly. Or no one's spotlighting that occupation on Instagram, but go to your local city, ask them what they need. They need first responders. They need people with the skilled expertise that are going to keep our community strong, especially as they grow. And hey, gang, look around the Quad Cities. You can see evidence and examples of how our community is growing, Matt, in tourism, recreation. Look at the TBK. Look at hotels. Look at all the construction of new office buildings and healthcare centers. All of those, all of that activity requires a skilled workforce, and all of those jobs, Matt, are in our study.
So I appreciate that download and the background there. I guess, again, putting my employer hat on, if you could look at employers, educators are doing have to do their part. They've got limited number of hours. We hope some of the educators listen to this, are aware of this, start asking for y'all to come in and maybe give a little presentation as to what the reality is of what employers are looking for. But if you could look to me and any other employers in the region, what can we be doing to help with this gap, to help with awareness, help with that transition so students, again, are hopefully making wiser decisions at a younger age?
Labor force participation is critical. And so I'm talking directly to everybody listening to this call today. We need you to work part-time jobs. We need you to start developing work habits and skills. If you're an employer and you're able to offer entry-level job at a part-time basis to a high school or college student, please do that. If you can, as a business, Matt, encourage other businesses to offer internships, please do that. We need to adopt a culture of workforce participation, and we need to grow our, in the Quad Cities, the number of internship opportunities that we have for our young people. I know I hear all the time, Matt, businesses, we're busy. My best guy, I can't take him off, the work that he's doing to be able to train a young person. But the younger generation is who is going to backfill, carry our community forward and help it grow. If I can give a young person 8 hours a week to spend time with me, do some work, I don't need them to do work, Matt, that's got them highly specialized.
Sure.
I need to give them hours in the field or in my office, observing, learning, building relationships, understanding business concepts, development of soft skills, so that they now are inspired. And when they have to make a choice about post-secondary training, they're like, you know what? I think I'm going to head off to college and I'm going to study community development, because I was able to spend a summer job shadowing Chris Case for 2 weeks at Grow Quad Cities, right? So I would hope that the business community would fully invest in part-time jobs for young people, high school and college, as well as job shadows and internships. And Matt, just to put a plug in, Grow Quad Cities right now is developing a software to put on our website that will act as a directory for work-based learning activities. We want our businesses to reach out and say, hey, Chris, I've got a job shadow experience. I need to inspire a new generation of chemical engineers. Matt, this ask has come up.
Sure.
So for all the young people on here, if you want to go into chemical engineering, there's a place for you. But I've got a business that says my chemical engineers want to mentor some young people right now. And Grow Quad Cities wants to be that billboard, that directory where students can go to see those opportunities and help make those connections.
But there still feels like there needs to be that the conduit for it being brought into the schools, the students, so that they're aware. Without that connection point, I don't want to say the effort's for naught, but we all have to start somewhere. So kudos for starting there. But then I think collectively we need to do our job and step up and make sure the educators and the students are aware so that they know the resources there.
Yes. So just to give you some confidence, I convene a meeting of work-based learning coordinators in Illinois and Iowa high schools in the Quad Cities every month.
Awesome.
So that meeting happens. This information is being shared, but it is going to take an army of champions, an army of advocates, an army of people, professionals like us, Matt,
sure,
that are like, you know what? We want the Quad Cities to be a thriving community that has good jobs, that our young people want to come back and stay and invest here. But I need help, yeah, right? I'm just one person. And Matt, how do I use media outlets like this to get the word out? How do I use social media? How do I use storytelling? And then quite honestly, how can I get an invitation to come and get an audience with young people who really do want to learn more about this information? So it takes an army. If you have ideas, if your listeners have ideas, Matt, it's a call to action today. Reach out to me. My contact information is at the quadcitychamber.com website. We want to hear from you. And again, it's going to take a full bench of Quad City champions to get this done.
Okay, quick pause. I had some like novel question there that I was going to come up with. Is there any other burning thing? Anything else that you want to make sure you get out about the report that we can throw you a leading question? Yeah.
Sure. I have some of the top numbers here from the report that I always like to make sure that we talk about.
Why don't you let Matt preface it with a lead in there so that you want to talk about the top numbers from the report?
Yeah.
Is it like top jobs or is it? Just throw me an example real quick, and I'll hit you with a good question.
600 job growth of 600 in the top 40 jobs in the report. That's okay. A big one.
I got you. So Bill, I always get asked how many people are in the Quad Cities, and you gave me that data. Can you give me a couple more facts from the report and about the Quad Cities that people would be interested in?
Sure. So like I said a little bit ago, about 200,000 total workers in the labor force in the 6-county Quad Cities area. That includes, I'll name the counties so that everybody knows. On the Iowa side, Muscatine, Scott, and Clinton. And on the Illinois side, Mercer, Henry, and Rock Island. So including the main area around the Quad Cities, but also going out to Muscatine and Clinton. Okay, 200,000 workers. In the top 100 jobs in the report that we found, there is an average annual openings of about 3,300 jobs in just those top 100. So 3,300, that's about 1.5% of the total labor force. And that's the number of job openings in just those top 100 jobs. That's growth plus accounting for the people who are leaving, replacing the people who are leaving due to retirement, leaving the area, leaving labor market, and so on. So that's pretty significant right there. Job growth in those top 100, that's about 750 jobs is what we're projecting over just the next 3 or 4 years. Okay. Now, then we took those top 100 jobs and we looked at the top 5 in each of the 8 categories in the report. Loosely call it the top 40, mm-hmm, because it's not really the top 40, just top 5 in 8 categories. In those 40 jobs alone, looking at job growth of about 600 jobs. Growth over and above what we're going to need to replace people who are retiring. Huh. Over and above the need for people continuing to enter the job market because there's turnover all the time. So that, when you put all that together, you're looking at every year needing thousands of people to be coming in just to these particular jobs. And that's why these 100 jobs, we believe, are high priority. There are lots of other occupations out there besides these top 100, including many that, you know, our jobs aren't on this list, right? And we think our jobs are pretty good, you know, but and there are a lot of other jobs out there that are very good and very high paying jobs. Many of those other jobs, they're not as important to the region in numbers. They're important in the function that they do, but we don't have a lot of people in those areas because we are a smaller community compared to a Chicago or Minneapolis, right? So what we're looking at specifically in this report are those jobs where maintaining the level of people in those occupations that we have and growing to meet the needs of industries that are changing and requiring more people to come in, like healthcare, for example, engineering, for example, that those are the jobs where there's a sense of urgency, that as we've been talking about with work-based learning, the need to make sure that students know that those jobs are out there so that they will take on the work-based learning opportunities and possibly enter a career in those areas that maybe they wouldn't have considered. So it's this, I think the top 100 is really the sense of urgency. These are the important ones that we need to focus on.
Chris, you got a little something else to add there?
I was just going to bookend on a comment. You know, like Bill said, one of the challenges, so again, I've been a workforce counselor for 25 years. One of the biggest challenges for young people when they think about their futures is understanding what jobs are out there. Call it occupational literacy. Mm. And Matt, many times our school staff are equally as unfamiliar because they don't work in industry. They are in the school environment. Kids will be what they can see. Literally, it behooves all of us then to introduce young people to as many occupations as possible, increasing their occupational understanding, their occupational literacy. And this is a very simple 4-page chart that lists 100 jobs. You imagine? And then, Matt, what I would love for a young person to do, look at this report. Take a highlighter pen. Cross out anything that's 100% no-go. But then literally circle the ones that they're like, And I want them to do a couple of things. One, Google that job. Two, go out on Indeed.com, search that job. You're going to see how much that pays, right? You're going to see where people need those jobs. Then I want you to go to a college that you're thinking of. I want you to go to their website. I want you to go to their program directory. I want you to look up and see if they even offer training in that occupation. And then, Matt, dig a little deeper. Students can see all the classes that they will have to take to become whatever that job is of interest. It takes a little bit of work, Matt, but it is work that their future selves will be grateful for. And hopefully this is, you know, if any parents are listening, they can help go through this exercise. Start with the top 100 jobs. Get your highlighter pens out. Do a Google search. Do an Indeed.com search. Go to your college programs and research to see where you can get that training. And that is how we make this a very practical decision-making tool.
I love it. I mean, that's you literally just put a handbook out there, or at least the cliff notes of what this is all about and how you can apply it. So that's awesome. Anything else, Matt, that's coming to mind? Well, why don't we go ahead and wrap this up? And again, we're going to frame this a little differently. Maybe it's a little self-reflection, Bill and Chris, on yourselves and your path to where you're at, but thinking again about the top 100 jobs in the priority report that you put all this time and effort into, if you are speaking to some high school students tomorrow, what would you recommend that they keep doing, start doing, and stop doing, again, 16-year-old selves, to help ensure happiness and future success as they start to think about what's next in their lives? Bill?
Well, that's a good question. The first thing that comes to mind is if you're interested in a lot of the jobs in this report, take some math classes. I mean, I'm a math person.
Sure.
So that was, all through my high school and college, math class after math class. We need engineers. We need people who are going to be doing more than turning a wrench or pushing a button. We've progressed in those jobs from the more manual labor assembly line kinds of things to now more automated things where maybe some people are just controlling something, but you're in the future, the jobs are going to be having to program something, having to have the logic to execute a set of tasks from one to another. And so even if you're not the programmer, even if you're not the engineer, you still are going to need some of that logical, critical thinking skills to be able to do the jobs of the future. Because one of the things that we see in the report is there's a column in there about the automation index. How likely is this job to be affected by automation? And these days, we hear all day about AI. It's AI this, AI that. Firms, manufacturing firms, are already starting to use AI in the production processes. Other jobs are going to be affected by it. My job is being affected by AI because I can be more productive at some of the computer code and things that I do. And so, but you don't, we aren't yet to a point where you can just go to ChatGPT and say, tell me how to do this job,
right,
from start to finish.
Yeah.
You need to be able to form that logical chain of steps in your thinking. I think for students, if you are in junior high, high school, that developing those skills of logical thinking and being able to set forth a chain of a series of actions, that's important in any job. And math classes are a good place where that comes in. So that's one of the things that I would tell students is take one more math class than you think you need.
Awesome. Chris, any thoughts about keep doing, start doing, stop doing?
I love it. There's a real easy formula for students if they want to think about career decision making. Matt, I want students to think about their personality. All right. So we're born with our personalities, and our personalities have a strong alignment to the world of work. So think about how you can apply the strengths of your personality, your interest. So to Bill's point, what do you like to learn? Are you inclined to science? Are you inclined to math? Are you inclined to problem solving? Are you inclined to leading teams? So personality, interest, and then the third calculation is aptitude. Know where your academic strengths are and lean into them. If you're a great writer, if you're a great reader, if you are good at math, if you're good at robotics, lean into your academic strengths. And then, Matt, I would encourage all young people, do not put self-imposed limits on your potential. We need everyone to know that they can do the hard work. You can go and be successful in a nursing program, in an engineering program. Do not put self-limiting bias and language on your thinking right now as a young person, because you are so much more capable than what you give yourself credit for.
I love this. I really appreciate Bill and Chris, you know, sharing this top 100 high priority jobs report for this, our listeners, for the community. It's such a great asset that I hope more employers, educators, and students tap into. Thank you very much. You both are real pieces of work, and your support of junior achievement in this region are phenomenal. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt. This was really, really fun today.
Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome.
Matt, what a great interview and time well spent today with our two guests. Man, a couple of just different thoughts. I know I wasn't asking a ton of questions because I was listening maybe a little too deeply to be interviewing today. But, man, I think number one is, you know, it's this is a great report because we all have our feel of what's happening in our community. But this is facts, right? And you got to bring some facts to the table. And that's what I really like about the report, as well as the hard work that both Chris and Bill are doing. You know, also, man, it brings to light to me an opportunity as well. We've got a lot of folks that are near retirement age, right? And I'm a big fan of always saying, always be training your replacement. So I'll give some guidance out there to employers as well. If you want to retire and you don't have your replacement, then start fighting for an internship. An internship is a mentorship for your future replacement. And so if you find yourself in the workforce and you're trying to bring up the next generation or maybe retire, you know, be an advocate in your company as a leader or as an employee to bring somebody in. And man, use that internship to mentor somebody that can replace you one day.
I love it. There's some irony. Yesterday, some of you know I work for a company called Russell here in the Quad Cities. Just yesterday, we had a town hall meeting talking about 2026 and beyond. Founder of our company, Jim Russell, stood up and reminded everybody that the average age in the office is sub 40, so not quite retirement. The bigger risk, and the thing, again, part of the why of this podcast, is last time I checked, we can't outsource swinging a hammer in the field to put up a wall, put up a door frame on a project that we're involved with. And we've got an aging field force, and that knowledge, that institutional knowledge of how to literally build something that's never been built before is not something that just comes out of a textbook. And classrooms are good, and that's great. But we, as an employer, need to do the best we can to get that next person trained and so they're productive and good individuals in our community. So as a full-time job, this is something that's near and dear to us. The other thing that stood out to me that Bill referenced, and I'm picking on nursing, but every industry deals with this, is that turnover. So employers, culture matters. In this competitive atmosphere, in this climate, culture matters. And so look in the mirror. If you're having a high turnover rate, and I'm not saying the nursing world, the healthcare world is doing something wrong per se, but is there one thing that you can do to move the needle 1%? Every time you can retain somebody, you're saving money. Every time you're not having to replace them, you're saving money. Look at your culture. It matters. Educators, I would also ask you to lean in. I know you're all busy. You're stretched. We need more teachers that want to care. Tap into reports like this. Make the ask. The number of times I have educators just say, would you be willing to come in and chat? Tell us students about what you do or your industry. 9 out of 10 times I say yes, because it's incumbent upon us. So educators, don't be afraid to ask, because it's incumbent upon us, step up and help. And then I love the fact Chris said, do a little homework as a student, take a little more time. Now matters. And if you can figure out a path of where you don't want to be as much as where you think you might want to be sooner, your chances for success in life are going to be just enhanced. So another great podcast, Matt. Looking forward to the next one with you, buddy.
Thanks, man.